What's up, what's up? You are now listening to FY Fly the Podcast, and I'm your host, Hassan Thomas, along with Remy, and we are here to share tools on how millennials can budget, save, invest, and understand student debt and credit to achieve financial freedom. If you're a high school student, college student, or someone who's interested in gaining more financial insight, this podcast is for you.
I'm trying to give me a bag. 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 I'm trying to give me a bag.
What's up? What's up, my fly folks out there? How y'all doing? I hope y'all doing all right. My name is Hassan Thomas, a.k.a. Sign Joiner, bright and early in the morning. And y'all know I'm here with my co-host Remy G, a.k.a. Remy Fallon. Not Jimmy, but Remy, you hear me? How you doing, family?
What's up? What's up? I'm doing good. Just got back from a family trip to Oklahoma.
That boy Big Sooner, huh? Okay, okay. Well, here at FY Fly, we like to start off our show with a meaningful quote about money. And y'all know this is a show about financial literacy. And financial literacy at its simplest is understanding not only how to budget your money, but being able to save and grow your money effectively and efficiently. And today's quote comes from our first guest of season two, our guy Dr. Dapper. And he says, your boss will never pay you enough to be their neighbor. That make you think right there. And that quote is perfect for today's episode because today we're going to be talking about whether an employee can become a millionaire or is being an entrepreneur, an attainer, athlete the only way to bring in them big bucks. What you think, G?
Man, I see both sides, to be honest. But trust me, ain't nothing wrong with getting that slow for show money.
Facts, General, I agree. And that's why we came up with a list of six ways an employee can become a millionaire. So let's get active. What's up, what's up? Oh, y'all haven't heard? FY Fly just released their new website. Check out the link in the show notes and help us test out our site. Please check our free features, educational resources, and our blog that we update daily. We look forward to hearing from y'all. Now let's dive in. So General, the FY Fly folks want to know, man, do you have a job or are you thugging it out fully on this entrepreneur grind?
So apart from the podcast and my clothing line that's almost ready to drop, right now, Mr. Make a Play is working as a management trainee at Enterprise with the hopes of managing my own branch within a year.
I'm with you on that, my boy, because right now I work at SHRM doing global sales. And for those who may not know, SHRM is a Society for Human Resource Management. But I will say this, bro. Everyone knows my dream is to be full-time CEO at FY Fly, catching flights, making plays. But as of now, I got to be realistic. My company is not bringing in the big dollars that we will be doing in the future. So to be able to live comfortably and not drive myself crazy, I need to have a 9-to-5 and then work my 6-to-12 when I get off.
Now that's huge what you just said, bro. For real. Because some people take that huge leap of faith and quit their job before their business is pouring in revenue. And that's just not smart. You don't have to make it a life or death situation. We don't always have to go through that struggle.
Facts, bro. Because especially in the minority community, since all we saw was struggle, we feel like we got to struggle before we come up. But it's 2021, baby. It's time to work smarter, not harder. Speaking of working smarter, not harder, let's hop into this list, fam.
Let's rock out.
So the six tips to becoming a millionaire while being an employee are, number one, put in the work. Number two, take on additional responsibilities. Number three, take advantage of self-improvement opportunities. Four, invest into your 401k. Five, invest into your Roth IRA. And last but not least, create a budget and live below your means. So number one, put in that work. And this is probably the universal number one rule to anything you do in life.
Come on now, son. You know Dolph said rule number one is to get that money.
That's facts. But if you don't put in the work, you ain't gonna get nothing, my boy. And this is really evident to me because the two things that will get you anything you want in life is hard work and consistency. And those are two things that you can control.
Facts, CEO. You can control your effort. You can control if you're on time or not. Shoot, you can control if you showing up every day. Because if y'all listening to us, we expect y'all to show up and show out.
No cap. But hearing you say you can control if you're on time or not made me think of something, bro. At SHRM, it's crazy. All the senior executives that have been around for a while show up and stay the latest, while the younger folks show up the latest and leave the earliest.
Wait, what? Shouldn't it be the other way around, bro? That's wild. But I also think that's due to entitlement, which is something our generation has pretty bad, bro. We think everything is going to be handed to us.
That's true. But look at our society. Society is grooming us to be that way for real, for real. The goal in business is to make things frictionless and the most convenient for customers as possible. And whoever does that will satisfy the most customers and make the most money.
But we kind of got off track, bro. Bottom line is, there's no substitute for hard work. Put the hours, put the time in, and stay consistent. It's going to pay off in the end. Believe us.
Facts, G. So number two is to take up any responsibilities. And this is a good one because this is actually what I'm doing right now. I started off working Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But I recently got promoted to work full time because I saw areas that I could help out in. So Sherm has given me more responsibility, which in terms of this episode, increases my value.
I value high salary. Yes, sir, CEO. But I definitely see what you're saying about these companies, bro. There's a lot of work to be done. And some employees like to shy away from the increased responsibilities because it involves more work, more time, or could cause them to get out their comfort zone.
Man, but that's so important that we branch out and get out of our comfort zones because that's the only way we grow. Which really leads us to our next point, bro. Taking advantage of self-improvement opportunities. For example, if a job will pay for you to go back to school, do it. You would have killed to get a full ride scholarship like a D1 athlete coming out of high school. And now that you got the opportunity, why would you pass it up? Remy, bro, I was talking to Big Dave.
Big Dave?
I swear, Big Dave. But Dave is our partner, man. Y'all gotta meet him one day. Top five funniest people I ever met. No cap. But Dave told me that his job will pay for him to go back to school. And I was like, are you going to do it? He said, heck yeah. I'm going to mess around and become a doctor on y'all boys.
Hey, man, that's so funny. Dave the doctor.
I swear, Dr. Dave. But yeah, a lot of companies now are offering personal development courses, tech improvement courses. I mean, it makes sense. The better you get, the better the company gets.
Don't worry if your company isn't offering these type of courses. There are plenty of ways you can improve yourself. A few ways are to be an active listener and observe other people. If someone has a higher rank or does something better than you, observe them, learn from them, and listen when they try to tell you something.
Nah, for real. Folks be feeling like they know everything, and that's why they stuck in the same place, not growing. The more you learn, the more you earn, baby. So for number four, we have investing into your 401k. And this might be one of the easiest ways to guarantee yourself to be a millionaire. Now, it is going to take some time. So if you can find a job you love and actually enjoy doing, this is a great play for you.
Yeah, because most people retire around 60. So that smart play would be for you to set up a monthly investing goal so you know exactly what you need to put in monthly to reach that goal of a milli.
Facts. And y'all can do that by using the retirement calculator that we'll link in the show notes for y'all. So another key factor to becoming a millionaire through your 401k is to take advantage of the match that you will get from your employer. If your job offers a match up to 6% of your total salary, well, guess how much you need to be investing? 6% of your total salary?
Hey, son, I remember our episode with Investing Latina, and she said to always be aware if the money your company matches is vested right away or is there a certain time period. So basically, that means if the money is vested right away, then the money your employer matches is all yours as soon as it hits your account. But if it's not vested right away, say they have a one-year vested period, then after 1 year of you working there, that money's all yours.
Makes sense, makes sense. I know my brother got my back, because I sure forgot about those vested options. But what I'll never let y'all forget about is setting up automatic investing. Whether it's for what we're about to talk about next or 401ks, set up automatic investing and do what, bro?
Forget about it.
Yes, sir. So next we have number five, which is investing into your Roth IRA. So an IRA is an individual retirement account. It's different from a 401k in the sense that a 401k is an employee-sponsored plan, while an IRA is individual.
And also, 401k uses pre-tax dollars, but you do have to pay taxes on the back end in retirement. While Roth IRAs are so popular because they use post-tax dollars, so your contributions and investments grow tax-free. If you have the opportunity, it'd be a smart play to take advantage of both, to be honest.
Facts. Because both of these retirement accounts can be used to become millionaires. But I feel like the government knew that Roth IRA is a top tier play because they put the max contribution to only $6,000 a year. While a 401k, you can contribute up to $19,500 a year.
Man, they say y'all ain't finna run up too much tax-free money now.
Nah, for real, fam. But last but not least, to be honest, this is probably the most important one. Creating a budget and living below your means. Now, I know. Nobody wants to hear live below your means. We all want to ball out, turn up, travel, and we can still do that easily. All we have to do is put that in our budgets. But you want to hit them with the first rule of personal finance general?
Yes, sir. So you got to know what's coming in and what's going out. How much are you making and how much are you spending? When we make our budgets, we go back and look at our last 3 months of expenses. And from there, we calculate and categorize all of our expenditures.
Expenditures? All right, now, Professor Green, talk to him, baby.
You know how I get down. I'm always speaking my mind. So after you categorize those expenditures, try to bring that down the next month. So say last month you spent $100 eating out. This month, try to allocate $75 for eating out.
Exactly. And the big key there is you're not going from $100 to $25. We got to start small and create those habits that will lead to big results. So now we're going to take a quick break and slide into our insightful interview with entrepreneur and HR specialist, Mr. Joey Price. Let's go. Yo, this your boy CEO Sonny, a.k.a. The Kid That Did. And before we really jump into our show, I just wanted to let y'all know, I've officially dropped my clothing line HRTs, and we're starting off with our four flagship designs. We have CEO, creating everyday opportunities. For my FY Fly ladies out there, we have WWW, Women With Wealth. For my FY Fly fellas, because y'all know we can't leave y'all out, we also have our Invest Men shirts. And last but not least, we have our Run Up A Check shirts. Thank y'all for tapping in with us. The link will be in the show notes. Hope y'all enjoy the show. Let's go.
What's up, my fly folks out there? How y'all doing? I hope y'all doing all right. And today we're speaking with HR professional and expert business consultant, Mr. Joey Price, who is also the CEO and founder of Jumpstart HR. How you doing, boss man?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. I can't complain. Today's a good day. How about yourself?
I'm doing amazing. Happy to be here with you.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, man. What took you so long?
Man, the technical difficulties, that's taking me down. but I'm glad we could get it going, man. Like I said, I'm happy to be here with you. So tell us more about you, your background, and how you started your company, Jumpstart HR.
Oh, man, where do I begin? I'll try to keep it brief because I could talk about myself all day. But I know your audience doesn't want to hear that part. But let's see. I have a company. It's an HR consulting company. We help small business owners elevate their HR when they don't want to do HR themselves. And so we work with companies across the US, small teams, small businesses. And I started the business in 2011. So I started it when I was 24 years old. And it's been a learning process ever since. Thankfully, it's been well. We've grown, got a small team. And that's been my journey for the past decade, is helping small businesses navigate HR, speaking across the country, across the globe. I was fortunate to speak in Europe a few years back, and also some stuff in China and India by way of remote. But I just love helping people perform their best. So I do that through HR consulting.
Yeah, man, we definitely look forward to tapping in on, you know, your entrepreneurship journey. But first, can you, for the folks that may not know exactly what HR is, can you elaborate on that and what HR professionals bring to the workplace?
Yeah, so I love this question because I'm going to give a forward-focused answer. Human resources is the long phrase of the acronym HR. And traditionally, we think of human resources as a department in the business that gets people hired, that gets people's payroll running, benefits taken care of, and questions they have about working in the company. So believe it or not, I didn't even know what HR was until I graduated from college, because I always thought that my store manager at CVS or, you know, wherever I worked handled all of the personnel stuff. But HR is responsible for keeping people on board and engaged and excited, and keeping leaders of businesses focused on how to leverage the people in the company to accomplish business goals. What do I think every HR professional needs to be successful? You have to be able to talk the language. HR people are notorious for kind of just being in our own world of rainbows and sunshine and kumbaya and icebreakers and things. And those are incredibly helpful and help with employee culture. But you also need to be able to talk budgets. You also need to talk project management, project leadership, being able to pivot and change directions as COVID has taught, and really being a champion for not only business success, but individual success as well. So you are someone who tries to make the people in the company better.
Definitely. So you were pretty young when you started your business. Can you give us some, can you tell us some challenges that you faced while starting Jumpstart HR?
Yeah, so I started when I was 24, and to be a consultant in this industry that is young, black, and male, I was a triple minority, and I would say I'm still young in my early 30s. I'm still black and I'm still male. So it's in some way, some of those challenges I still, but more specifically, those are just, you know, the credibility factor. What is a 24-year-old going to tell you about running your business effectively? The factor of getting into an industry that where not a lot of people look like you. And so the authority factor of why people should listen to what you have to say. And, you know, I started my business self-funded. I didn't go to banks. I didn't get loans or lines of credit or anything like that. And so access to capital or pursuit of capital can be a hindrance. But thankfully, the business is where it is, and it's in a positive direction, and it has been. But in the midst of those challenges, I've just kind of had conservative, partly because of those barriers, but also partly because I wanted to make sure that I mastered and enjoyed each level, each step up that ladder, as opposed to just growing too fast and not being able to handle it from a maturity standpoint and seeing it all crumble. So those are some of the barriers: is access to capital, pursuit of capital, credibility, authority, and of course, you know, race and ethnicity sometimes play a factor in that, but never let that stop you.
So I do want to touch on something you said, you know, building credibility. We have a lot of young listeners listening right now, and they want to, you know, establish themselves as, you know, experts in their field. How can we do that at such a young age, like you were saying?
So when I started my business at 24, I was not a salesperson. I didn't know the first thing about calling a customer, because everywhere I worked, there was another department that did that. There were people that were trained at that. And the way that I started helping people and ultimately led to credibility was I did what most young people do. I went to social media, but I had the idea of helping people on social media as opposed to just being on there and, you know, participating in meaningless chats. So I would write, I would blog, I would participate in conversations in my industry on sites like Twitter and LinkedIn, and that helped build credibility. I also was sought out newspapers to be a resource to get quotes in magazines. That helped. I would go to local chambers of commerce and local SHRM chapters and speak at their. A lot of organizations are looking for people who can speak on topics. And credibility doesn't always mean being the person who knows everything about something. Credibility oftentimes means just being a few steps ahead of the people that need the information that you have to share. So for example, you know, I'm on a financial podcast. If you have a 600 credit score, you can tell people who have a 300, 400, or 500 credit score how to at least get 600. And then when you get them to 600, point them to somebody that's got a 700 or 800. But there's a world of people out there that are a few steps behind where you are. So don't hide your credibility or your greatness just because you think you're not an expert yet. If you can help someone get to where you are currently, you're credible in somebody's eyes.
That's some great advice, man. So can you tell us why entrepreneurship is essential for creating wealth for ourselves and future generations?
I will say that I wouldn't necessarily say it's essential. Mm-hmm. I am an advocate for it, though. And I say it's not essential because we talked offline about some of the different streams of income that you can have. But entrepreneurship is a great way to pursue financial freedom because it allows you to either take what you're good at or take what you're able to spot opportunity in and pursue that as fast and as far as you want to take it. Obviously, if you are a salaried employee or hourly employee, you're going to have some financial income coming in. And it could be enough to help you pursue the goals that you have for yourself. So there's nothing wrong with being a salary or paid employee and work for someone else. But if you feel like you want to take the risk and step out there and pursue the path of entrepreneurship, you basically get the keys to drive a Lamborghini, but you have to know how to, you have to learn how to drive stick. You have to learn how to drive at high speeds. And you have to learn how to plan traffic because if you work for another company, there's someone who's minding the roads for you. So it's just the difference of how do you want to pursue financial freedom, financial independence. you can get there as an employee, but the path of entrepreneurship just is a different way to get that. And I'm an advocate for it if you're in it for the right reasons.
So what are some great ways for us to develop an entrepreneurial mindset?
I would say, well, first of all, I have a course on this, and I'll give you a link to it for people that are listening if they want to download it. But really, you should start with service. Think about what problem you want to solve, what pain point you want to alleviate, what pleasure you want to provide to people. Because we don't buy products and services, we buy solutions. So if I am looking for, you know, a solution for my appearance, I'm going to go to the best barber, I'm going to go buy the best clothes, and I'm going to go buy the best shoes. If I'm looking for a solution for a better relationship, I'm going to buy the best therapist, I'm going to buy the best counselor. So you have to think of what solution you want to offer. And it has to be something that people want to buy, because we don't exist to solve our own problems necessarily, but we exist to solve other people's problems. So that would be the fundamental way to develop an entrepreneurial mindset, is figure out what big problem you want to solve and go after it.
Okay, so can you give us some tips on building a brand? You know, there's a lot of crowded spaces out there like fashion, you know, cosmetology. How do we really differentiate ourselves from our competitors in our specific markets?
I love that question, because it is the easiest thing to do and the hardest thing to do at the same time, because you have a brand whether you know it or not. So what people say about you, what people gather from your website, what people think of you when you exchange your business cards, when they hear you talk about your business, they are formulating an opinion about your brand. But if you want to be in control of what people think and know about your brand, you need to make sure that your online representation is crisp. So you don't always have to have a website necessarily. A lot of companies make a killing selling on Instagram and taking off online conversations offline. But make sure your brand is crisp online. Make sure it's very clear what you, if you go to my website, jumpstart-hr.com, it's very clear what we do. We don't have some lofty goal or vision that seems like it could be an umbrella term for a lot of different things. But it's very clear that we help small businesses elevate their HR. You also should be known for what you like doing. So I see, and sometimes, you know, I've been guilty of this. I want my Instagram to show that I'm great at HR, at leadership, at finance, at all these other things. But if you stick to being true and authentic to the thing that you are meant to solve, the problem you're meant to solve, your brand will speak for itself. And then the last thing I would say is to really figure out what makes you different from your competitors. Because I tell you what, every brand that you admire, they have some differentiating factor about them that makes you choose them over the competitors. And the way you do that is you ask people that are close to you. You can hire a marketing consultant to help you. You can read books to figure out what your value proposition is. I have a great resource called the Value Proposition. What is it called? The Value Proposition Handbook or something like that. It's not mine, but it's what I've used to help me with my brand, and I recommend it for other entrepreneurs. But the reality is you have to figure out why people should buy from you as opposed to somewhere else. And, you know, maybe you say, if you're in hair products, you might say the safest product to do X, or the quickest way to do this, or we use all natural ingredients that you can look at the label and understand, or we are small batch made in America. We are black owned. We are this, we're that. Whatever is authentic and true about you that other competitors can't necessarily say, that's how you position yourself. That's how you get your brand. So your branding is all about your positioning and how you want to be known for. And I feel like I just said a whole lot, but hopefully there was something in there that you're able to write down and can take action on.
I was going to say, man, keep dropping them gems on us, man. For real. So for our fly folks out there listening who have a plan or idea, but have not yet made that leap yet, what would Mr. Joey Price tell them?
I tell them this. I tell them my story. You know, there was a crossroads in my life where I could have continued to be an employee, or I could have made mistakes along the way and built a business. And I chose to make mistakes along the way and build a business because I said, now I'm past 30. But when I got to 30, I'd rather have 6 years of experience on my own than start from scratch. And so there's no better time than now to start something that you're passionate about. Learn, get your hard knocks out the way early. Get people around you that can help coach you up, because you want to be able to show forward momentum as opposed to procrastination and talking yourself out of it. Mm-hmm. If you really believe that entrepreneurship is the path that you need to be going down, then you should absolutely create that website, put together your marketing plan, perfect your product or service, start getting customer one, customer two, customer 10. And if you can get 10 customers once, you can get 10 customers 100 times. And that's how you build a successful business. You don't have to hit home runs all the time, but if you get singles and just slowly but surely go down the path that you need to, you'll be on to something special.
I agree, man. So, you know, both of us know running a business is not easy. You know, when you're working a 9-to-5, you go in at 9 and you're done at 5. But for business owners, you can literally be working 80 hours a week. So what are some ways that you balance out your duties as a full-time CEO, husband, father, and, you know, the other 1,000 things you probably have your hands on as well?
Man, I laugh because I'm still trying to figure this out. However, but the thing is, you have to realize that you can influence a lot, but you can't do a lot. That is the number one factor to me of how to manage your time. So you may be able to influence your organization, but you can't do it all. I can't do marketing and sales and customer fulfillment and send out emails and do all these sorts of things. I just can't wear all those hats. And then as far as family time goes, I have to be okay with putting work down and realizing that even if there's something that needs my attention, well, it'll need my attention tomorrow. And, you know, I'll check that box later. You know, there are so many stories and motivational speeches about, you know, when you die, your tombstone isn't going to say, you know, Joey was the person who put in 80 hours and loved his business. Like, people are going to remember how you impacted their life personally. And it's going to be the people that are closest to you, your family, whatever that situation looks like for you. So I've just decided that, you know, as important as my business is to me, my family is way more important. And so if I want to keep a healthy, thriving business, I have to put myself in a position where it can run without me in a lot of ways, and I can spend time with my family. So the key to doing it all is that you can't, but you have to put yourself in a position where you're leading through people as opposed to doing it all.
And that's where your team comes in and the different processes and things that you have set in place, correct?
Your team, automation, outsourcing, tools and technology, it all plays a part in helping you have a larger than life presence. I'll give you a perfect example. I had a potential customer chase me down, and they were like, man, you know, I saw your post this morning and it really resonated with me. I just had to pick up the phone and call you. And because I knew this person, I was like, I posted this morning? But but the reality is I have a marketing team, right? That helps me with branding and things. And so that was so impactful for him that he picked up the phone and had to call me and wants to do business with me. But I didn't do it. So that's the power of leading through people and having a team that you can rely on, is that you don't have to carry the weight of everything. You can have reliable people that you have some responsibility and, you know, move business forward for you.
How important is it being able to adapt as an entrepreneur? And can you give us a particular time where you had to adapt in your business?
Man, every day I have to adapt. I'm gonna start super silly and practical, but work my way up. I have to adapt to how I'm feeling. I have to adapt to what the day's responsibilities are at my house. I have to respond and adapt to clients and if there are fires to put out. But, you know, being in the midst of COVID, had to adapt to the way that we serve our customers and add value to our industry. I built this business in 2011 as a remote business from day one. So that part of it wasn't a struggle or a hassle to pivot in the midst of COVID. But some of the themes that have emerged in the midst of COVID and with the death of George Floyd and so many other people is now customers are calling us and different things are important to them than they were 3 months ago or 3 years ago. So I have to pivot to be able to tell my team, hey, this is what people are interested in. This is what they need. This is what we need to be sharing and talking about. So pivoting is incredibly important. If you think of business as like, you know, surfing, you have to ride the waves and master the waves or you're going to get knocked down. So life is all about pivoting. There's a good book called Who Moved My Cheese and that talks about dealing with change. But in business, you have to be good at pivoting and not holding stuff so tightly that you can't pivot with the way that business is moving or people are moving.
Makes sense. So, you know, not everyone is cut out for entrepreneurship. Can a 9-to-5 employee reach financial freedom as well?
Yeah, and we touched a little bit on that earlier, but you absolutely can because financial freedom really, it starts with your own definition of what that means. You know, some people may say financial freedom is making sure that I don't live paycheck to paycheck. Well, if you're working in a 9-to-5, figure out what your monthly budget is and save 3 to 6 months of expenses. And then that way you have a level of financial freedom where if you had job loss or some financial setback, you'd be able to comfortably pull from your expenses from your emergency fund and take care of it. You can, you know, use your 9-to-5 to put money into the stock market. Use your 9-to-5 to put money in real estate. Use your 9-to-5 to put money in buying a franchise that you hire someone else to run. That we talked about this offline, I think, but money is just a tool. And however you get that money doesn't necessarily matter. It's all about how you put it to use. So whether you got your money, I'll put it this way. The W-2 employee that makes $50,000 a year is on the same footing as the entrepreneur who makes $50,000 a year. It's the same 50K. Now, we could talk, you know, tax deductions and all that stuff. That's a conversation for another time. But the point is, you know, don't be discouraged if you're at brunch and your friends are like, oh, I'm launching this business. I'm doing all that. And you're like, I'm good with my job. Like, don't feel like you have to buy into the pressure because all that matters is how you deploy the tool of money to set your future self up for success. And you can do that with a 9-to-5, with saving and investing.
So what advice do you have for millennials and Generation Zers who are looking for jobs right now during and post-COVID season?
Well, I would say that you want to make sure that you're investing in your skills, make sure that you're becoming more and more marketable, make sure that you have the right relationship. Before I started my business, I tell people I never applied to jobs because I was always poached. It was always somebody say, hey, I want you to talk to this person. They're looking for somebody like you. And that's literally how I moved from position to position in a climbing the corporate ladder from HR assistant to, you know, HR generalist to HR specialist to interim HR director and then going off to do my own thing. You know, people talk about getting lucky or whatever, but you have to have momentum of having the right relationships where people know what you're all about, know what you can do. I always say it's not who you know or what you know, but it's who knows what you can do. And that principle has helped me open up doors where, quite frankly, I wasn't even qualified for. But people thought that I could handle the opportunity that presented itself, and things worked out fine. So I would say continue to make yourself marketable. Continue to get yourself out there. Build relationships both in your immediate geographic area and through online and social media. And keep listening to podcasts like this to sharpen yourself and learn and grow.
Most definitely. So, you know, now tons of people are working remotely. And I know you have tons of experience, you know, with your business working remotely. So can you give us some tips for people to stay locked in while they're working remotely?
Yeah, I have a few podcasts on this, and I spoke with some experts on remote work. You probably have experienced this by now, but working remote, you actually spend more time working than if you at the office. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's because people feel like, oh, because I don't have to commute, I can spend more time, or if they feel like the pressure is on me to perform, so I have to work more hours. That's just the way that it shakes out, is that people work more. But that also could lead to being stressed and burnt out. So you have to make sure that you set limits for the number of hours that you're going to work per week, or at least give yourself a hard stop and say, hey, I'm going to put things down at 5 or 5:30. I'm going to go do something that refreshes me. I'm going to spend time with my family. I'm going to have a dinner. I'm going to work out. I'm going to do whatever. And then I'm going to come back and pick up my work if that's what you so choose to do that day. So the biggest thing is to set your boundaries, make sure that you're communicating with your team so they know what's expected of you. And that's really the best advice that I could give at this point, is to make sure that you're setting appropriate boundaries and you have really good communication with the people that are relying on you.
Man, I'm glad you said that, because I actually had to set me a boundary too, man. I just set my hard stop at midnight.
I'm asleep at midnight, man.
Man, but before I was up to 2-3 working, grinding, and then hopping up at 9 and doing the same thing. But like I said, I set a hard stop for myself at midnight so I could just cool everything down and get some rest.
Yeah, and let me stop, though, or let me, you know, before we go on, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying slack off. But what I am saying is, while you're locked into that time frame that you set, that boundary that you set, give your best in that time frame, because you can have a super productive 8 hours more than a stressed out 10 or 12. So give your best in those 8 hours. Definitely give an honest day's work. You can't see this because it's a podcast. I have this photo in the back of my office, and it says, after we added value, then our day sunsets. That's I literally pulled this off of my mentor's wall, and I put it in my office, because it's just a reminder of, like, give your best every day. Show up and give your best, and then you can chill. So don't slack off. This is not me saying slack off. Don't give your company what they deserve. But the opposite, you know, leave it all on the field, pretty much.
Definitely. So, you know, this may be kind of a gray area for some people, but what are your thoughts on negotiating higher salaries before you actually get hired by an employer?
Shouldn't be a gray area. Mm-hmm. If you believe that the job is worth more than they've offered to you, you should ask the question, and you should say, hey, can we revisit this? A lot of times companies will give you I won't say a lot of times because I can't speak for many companies out there, but it is a common practice to give the lowest salary offered within a range. So for example, if you are going for a job and they offer you $65,000, it's likely that they could go up to $75,000 because there's a range. But they're offering you 65 because if you're not going to ask for 70, why am I going to pay you 70?
Yeah.
So you got to think about that, right? So there's no harm in asking for more. It's just all on how you do it, because obviously they want you because they've extended an offer. They're not going to say, oh, you're not grateful for this $65,000. We're going to go to somebody else. No, they've invested in you. They've already made the emotional investment to say that you are our person, we want you on the team. So this is just that next step of talking things out. So I would say definitely ask for compensation. If you can't negotiate on compensation, there's a whole host of things you can negotiate on. You can negotiate on how many days off you get per month. You can negotiate if they will pay towards your college tuition. You could negotiate if they factor in an automatic increase after a number of days. For example, one job I had, I said, all right, I'm going to come in for this amount, because they paid me less than I knew it was worth. But we're going to pay at this amount. But we need, at 6 months, there needs to be an increase to this amount. And so that was a baked-in raise already that I knew was going to come. Because it's important, right? Like, how you start is how you finish. So if you start at a low pay scale, they're going to add 1% this year, 1% that year, 1%. But if you start a little higher, that 1% increase is higher, that 2% increase is higher, so on and so forth. So definitely ask the question. It's not taboo. It shouldn't be a gray area. Know your worth and add tax is the same. But also, if you can't negotiate, if they're firm on your salary, there are other things that you might be able to negotiate too.
So, man, in your opinion, what's more important, finding a good mentor or building a strong network? Or would you say they're both equal?
If I had to tell you to do one, I'd say get the mentor. Because the mentor is going to likely, if you ask them and if they are a good one, they will loop you into their network. And so part of having a mentor is that they have fought battles that you shouldn't have to fight. So I have mentors in my life who, you know, because of one of my mentors, for one of my birthdays, I went out and bought errors and omissions insurance for my birthday. Why? Because he said, Joey, you need to have insurance on your business because you're a consultant. If you make a mistake, who's going to pay for it? All right. So that, you know, my mentor told me that. And then another mentor, he has a financial, you know, strategies company that I now glean from as well and learn at the level that he's learning. So the right mentor will open up doors and put you around people that will look different than your peers because you're operating at the level of your mentor, not at the level of how you would normally operate. So I'd say get the mentor and then the network, as opposed to network and then the mentor, if I had to choose.
Great. So I got one more question for your boss, man. I'm going to read to you two quotes.
All right.
And you have to tell me which quote is more accurate in your opinion. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, so my first quote is, money can't buy happiness. And my second quote is, more money, more problems. Which one is more accurate in your opinion?
The second.
Okay, why is that? Talk to me.
More money, more problems, because, let me say this the right way. When you have more money, it is likely because you have become successful at something where people pay you for that. Or even scratch all that. The more money you have, the more you have to steward over and be responsible for. Because you can get it, but keeping it is the hard part. So that's where the problem comes. I really want to buy this Tesla. But if I buy this Tesla, I'm literally sending out $1,000 a month in this lease or in this car note. And I can't get that back because this Tesla is a depreciating asset. Or, I don't know my tax risk or tax exposure because I now make this money. So not only am I, you know, paying taxes, but I'm not setting myself up to win and preserve some of the money that I could be preserving. So that's a problem. Or now that I have this money, I feel like I should have a certain lifestyle, and that lifestyle is more expensive than what I was used to. And so not only is there the pressure to live the lifestyle, but it's the pressure to have that money flow coming in the same way because I got to keep this lifestyle up, right? So these are all the different problems that you can have with money. And so that's why I say that's 100% true is, and problems are not always bad, but problems are always just things you need to solve so that you can grow. But the reason why I say money can't buy you happiness isn't always true, because it's not true, but it's just that more money, more problems just feels more real, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you buy your wife the first Louis Vuitton, you know, you can't go back to Michael Kors, right? It's just,
that's
you know,
or,
yeah, you know, so it's all about discipline either way and doing the right things for the right reason either way. And ultimately realizing that, you know, we're just stewards at the end of the day. We don't get to keep money when we leave, but if you help grow it for your family, you know, you've done well for yourself. So both quotes could be true. I think both quotes are true, but I think the one that resonated most with me is more money, more problems.
Gotcha, man. I appreciate your time, man. Thanks for joining us on FY Fly the Podcast. Let the audience know where to reach you. Any final words? Go ahead, boss.
Yeah, check out my website, jumpstart-hr.com. That's where we help small businesses and small teams, as well as if you want to connect with me personally, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Joey V Price HR. And you can check that for my podcast, for my live stream, any kind of content that I'm producing, you'll likely see it there first.
Most definitely. Like I said, I appreciate you, man. Now we're going to take it back to Remy G and me for one of our favorite segments in the show called Did You Know? Let's go.
Welcome back to FY Fly the Podcast. And y'all already know what time it is, or maybe y'all don't. But me and Mr. Make a Play finna let y'all know. Did you know? In the United States, approximately 7% of households are millionaires.
Did you know? According to the book, The Millionaire Next Door, only 20% of millionaires inherited their wealth, while the other 80% earned their cash on their own.
Did you know? Only 20% of millionaires are retirees. Around 80% still go to work.
Did you know? The average millionaire goes bankrupt at least 3.5 times.
Did you know? Half of all millionaires are self-employed or own a business.
Did you know? 4 of the youngest billionaires in the world are connected to Facebook.
In conclusion, to wrap it all up for my FY Fly folks, we hope you learned a lot from my boy Joey Price. My fault. That's his podcast intro. That joint catchy. But yeah, as an employee, it's definitely possible for you to reach $1 million at retirement. But it's going to take hard work and consistency, just like with anything in life. You're either going to consistently pick the wrong choice or consistently choose the right choice that will provide you with the best results. And sometimes you may slip up, but we always got to win more than we lose, baby.
Facts, CEO. That was a nice little quote. But let me recap what we learned today. So the 6 tips to becoming a millionaire as an employee are 1. Put in the work. 2. Take on additional responsibilities. 3. Take advantage of those self-improvement opportunities. 4. That stands for 401k. 5. Roth IRA. And 6. Create a budget and living below your means.
Appreciate you, Mr. Make a Play. And for our action items before y'all exit the show, please tap in with the retirement calculator in the show notes. See how much you need to be saving to retire with the amount of money that you feel is necessary to maintain your lifestyle. And remember, we want to live with an abundance mindset, not a scarcity mindset. Our people done that our whole lives, so it's time to switch something up. But that's it from the FY Fly guys, man. Hope y'all enjoyed the show. We need y'all too. Stay safe.
Stay invested.
And stay fly.
Thank you all for listening to FY Fly the Podcast, and we hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for more financial literacy insights with our special guest. Please visit our website, social media platforms, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at FYI Fly Podcast. That's FYI FLI Podcast. See y'all next week and stay fly.
But don't y'all go anywhere just yet. Stay tuned as each week here on FYI Fly, we like to give an independent artist a place to shine and gain some exposure. And this week we have Your Last by King Nero. Let's go. Yeah. Do it bigger, better than last.